Sure, I've thrown shade at the CFL and Jeffrey Orridge like four times, but hey, no, you know what? I'm just not yelling.
Are we witnessing a brand new John Fraser?
No. Grab some poutine and a double-double. It's time for the Two and Out CFL podcast. Every week, John Fraser.
To me, if this isn't rock bottom for the Bombers, I don't know what is.
And Travis Kura.
Who would win between the world's fastest cow, the CFL rabbit, or Brandon Banks?
We'll deliver news and fantasy analysis from the Canadian Football League. And nonsense.
Bad pizza's better than good salad, right?
It's true. It really is. Just like bad wings are better than most anything in the world.
Can't forget the nonsense.
Ready, set, hurt!
Welcome to episode 55 of the Two and Out CFL podcast, and John Fraser, nice of you to join us today.
Hey, at least my voice is cooperating. See, last week was not a scheduling issue. Last week was the fact I woke up, and you would have had me for about 5 minutes of ranting, and that would have been it, because I wouldn't have had any kind of a voice left, so I figure it was just better to let my friend Ryan do it, who's also a fellow lacrosse broadcaster.
Yes, I guess that's where it was funny because I was talking to him for about 10 minutes before he figured out that it was me and not you.
You think he'd know my voice well. I've called him fairly often throughout the lacrosse season.
I don't think we sound similar at all.
No,
I'm a lot more jovial than you.
Oh, yeah, you're much happier.
And that's my downfall. Yesterday, I have to bring this up. Yesterday, okay. I'm sitting at home wearing some gray sweat shorts and literally a tie-dye deep purple shirt.
That is awesome and at the same time horrifying. Podcasts in a row we've worked together. I've now have a first image of your manhood hanging out and now an image of you in gray sweat shorts. Did they say juicy on the ass or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. But the doorbell rings and I'm like,
yep.
What? So I open the door, and there's a little boy. He must have been 6 years old. Sir,
oh.
Do you want to buy some popcorn so I can go to camp?
Of course you bought the popcorn.
How do I say no to that?
You legitimately can't say no to that. And as well, that popcorn, I don't know which kind you got, but I know my nephew was selling like a jalapeno cheddar popcorn once, and it might have been the best ish I've ever put in my face hole.
I just bought the normal popping popcorn because I got a Stanley Cup. I need a Grey Cup popcorn machine, but I have a Stanley Cup popcorn machine. So
that's pretty impressive. I'm not gonna lie.
I think we need to get Brazilian Ty on the line because I think he's one guy that would actually say no to the children.
He strikes me as that kind of guy. Let me dial him up.
Okay.
All right, Brazilian Ty, just before you came on the podcast, we were discussing how a small six-year-old child came up to Travis's door and put out his big, like, puppy dog eyes and said, "Sir, can you buy some popcorn from me so I can go to camp?" How quickly do you say no to that child, and what curse word do you yell at him when he leaves your house, Brazilian Ty?
I don't even answer the door.
Do you just generally not answer the door, or would you look outside, see a small child, and then decide, I'm not answering the door?
No, the only time I answer the door is when I order pizza.
It's funny, because I considered going upstairs. I considered, hiding under the window, but because they couldn't see me. They couldn't see me, but I decided, hey, I'm new to the neighborhood. I will answer the door, and this little kid. But how can I say no to popcorn, first of all?
How much did you buy?
I only bought one bag. It was $15.
Oh, you are a cheap Ukrainian.
I don't know. $15 for a bag of popcorn? Like, that seems
that's what I was thinking. I'm like, this is more than the theater.
It actually,
now when Taylor wants popcorn, you won't have to go to the theater to get it.
I know. That
right.
Makes me so. Actually, no. She likes the old Castrol motor oil that the theater puts on the popcorn. They don't put butter on it. That stuff, I could run my truck on whatever they put on the popcorn there, man.
That's fair. In a pinch, if you're stranded on the side of the road and you're out of oil, just stop at your nearest Cineplex and get some of that buttery goodness.
All right, Tyrell, who are we waxing this week?
The Toronto Argonauts for making Chapdelaine look like he knows what he's doing.
They made him look like Mark Trestman.
Like, seriously.
I thought that was the best game that Montreal played, and I thought that maybe Jacques Chapdelaine maybe proved us wrong, and maybe he actually does know what he's doing.
Don't read too much into this. We've seen him run an offense before. This is like just a flash in the pan.
Hey, the Riders had a dynamite offense early last year.
Yeah, and then what happened?
And then Tino Cinceri happened, boys.
Yeah, well, I guess.
So is it Jacques Chapdelaine's failure as a coach, or is it Tino Cinceri's failure as a human being?
I will never blame Tino.
How can you not blame Tino?
He's a Rider legend.
He might be the worst quarterback that's ever played in the CFL for the past at least 2 or 3 years.
Okay. At this rate, he's going to get inducted into the Plaza of Honor in Regina.
Oh, no.
That's gross. That's disgusting. You both disgust me.
Maybe Orange will have to show up for that one.
Probably not.
I might have to angry elk that.
What? Yeah, just because Orange won't come on our podcast and he goes on everybody else's? By the way, a shout out to the other podcast that listened to Orange ramble on with his lawyer speak and not answer a damn question for 15 minutes in each one of them.
You really need to tell us how you really feel.
No, that's who I thought that's who you were going to wax. I thought you were our bro. I thought that you would be like, listen, Orange.
He waxed him last week.
Did he? I didn't listen last week.
Yeah, of course you didn't.
Dude, thanks, buddy.
Hey, I don't listen when I'm not on the pod.
No commitment.
Okay, well, can I wax him? Can I, like, heat up an extra strip and, you know, take it off of...
It's your own segment. Don't steal mine.
I actually think Brazilian Ty has been on 2 and Out more than John Fraser. And Fraser is actually in the intro.
Listen. I feel like I'm getting waxed here. I'm feeling like these wax strips are closing in on me. This is supposed to be when we ask Brazilian Ty goofy questions like salad or no salad, and instead it's, you know, let's all pile on the guy who was sick last week. 8 seconds left, Ty. Tell us something about you we don't already know.
I cry every time I watch Armageddon.
Oh, that's so sad.
Why are we talking about crying again? Ty, get off the line.
Okay, talk to you boys later.
In the Huddle with Fraser and Kura on the 2 and Out podcast.
All right, of course, news brought to you by Bomb Energy Drink. Make sure
I'm surprised you haven't got the intros changed there after that, after what you and Ty's piling on there a couple of minutes ago.
You want me to change with...
I want you to keep them.
Okay, I will. Don't worry about it.
I just always get so scared whenever I take a time off. You're like, man.
We're finally breaking that thick skin of yours.
No, that's fair. No, I'm still feeling pretty good.
Okay.
Because I know I'm way better than any other options you got, so you're kind of stuck with me.
You are still the of the show. News is brought to you by Bomb Energy Drink. Check them out online, drinkbomb.com. I know in Alberta you can get them in Max convenience stores, and the website shows you where you can find that delicious, delicious energy drink. And the bomb of the week, holy crap, Monday night, the Argos make a pile of changes. Now, on Sunday, after the brutal loss to Montreal, we did mention it, Jacques Chapdelaine's first day as head coach in Montreal. I guess the fans love him. They sold it out, Percival Molson Stadium. They beat the Argos 38-11. And Milanovic said changes were coming. Whoever's not buying in, well, they're taking a hike. Now, it all started when Vidal Hazelton was announced that he was let go. And, of course, he's already signed in Edmonton. And then a few hours later, Phil Bates, Torrey Gurley, and Kevin Elliott, they're all gone, too.
Wow. How would you like to be Drew Willey right now? hey, Drew, come to a team that has, like, three really good receivers. We'll trade for you. Everything's going to be okay. Oh, hey, Drew, we just cut them all because they're a bunch of meat sticks.
Well, the crazy thing about all this, I actually think that they still have a lot of offensive weapons. They have Anthony Coombs, Andre Drury. They have Deontay Spencer, Kenny Shaw, and Brandon Whitaker. That's after letting all three of these guys go.
Well, the thing is, too, is I think there's a lot to be said about there's something that's been going on in Toronto, especially this year. I mean, they started off pretty solid. Now, all of a sudden, they're two games behind Edmonton in a crossover playoff situation. So, obviously, something needed to change. I wasn't surprised. I guess I was surprised by the names and the quality of the talent that was let go by Milanovic. You do raise a valid point, Travis, that absolutely there is still enough talent that I think that they might be able to win a game or two. But, you know, there's something to be said about getting rid of those guys out of a dressing room that are causing, you know, any kind of negative effects and maybe dragging the team down. And the head coach will know it best. So I think it's a bold move to let those guys go when you haven't really been eliminated from playoff contention. Obviously, they're talented players. So I'm going to be really intrigued to see what happens in Toronto here for the rest of the year after letting all three of those guys go. All of the guys go, I should say. And I'm almost wondering, like, what has Milanovic told other coaches? Are they going to get a second chance? Maybe one of them lands in a place like Saskatchewan that's all about reclamation projects.
Yeah. And last year, there were a few of these guys. I think it was either Elliott or Hazelton that were benched due to attitude issues and, you know, taking dumb penalties, whether they were in sportsmanlike conducts, things like that. And Hazelton was pretty much a healthy scratch for most of the summer. So these guys, I don't think it's anything new. And I think these three guys, they came into the Argos together. They were very, very tight-knit group. And it was like, if we're going to get rid of one, we have to get rid of all three of them. It's just crazy that it happened, I guess, this way instead of, you know, just letting them walk in free agency or something like that.
Yeah, but obviously they feel that the Argos organization feels like the team's in a spot where they can still get into the playoffs. I mean, all they got to do is be as good. Well, I mean, you got to be two games better than Edmonton the rest of the way out, but you just got to tie Edmonton to earn your playoff spot there in the East Division. Now, they think, obviously, they're going to be better suited without that negativity in the room. You know, I've been on lots of teams where you cut those guys that are negative, that are fighting with the coaches. You get them out of the room. It's like a whole new day. It feels like a whole new team. I just hope it's not too little too late for Toronto fans.
Yeah, hopefully not. Also, over the weekend, you got to be there. I watched it from the comfort of my couch on Saturday. The University of Regina Rams and the University of Saskatchewan Huskies opened up new Mosaic Stadium in Regina. First impressions.
Holy, get the angry elk ready.
Oh.
That place is a mecca of football.
Wow.
Amazing. Right from the minute you walk in. Now, too, as I arrived, I didn't walk through the main gates. I went through the credential spot because I had to go up to the press box to help out Dave Thomas and Barkley Schlosser, who do our Husky football broadcast. I just had to go up to the press box. But I can tell you, that press box is unrivaled for anything I've seen in any league ever. The windows that you can view the game out of, the viewing angles, it's just terrific. And then I also had the chance, I only had to help out with post-game prep, it turned out, so I then made my way all the way down to field level, and I can tell you, I got to stand on the turf at New Mosaic for the first game ever, and the turf is immaculate. You can hear how loud it is down there. I can't wait to get the big new Maxtron scoreboard going. And then from a fan perspective, it was general admission, right? So you were able to kind of sit, you know, everywhere you wanted to go. So I took in part of the game from the end zone seats. I took it in from about the 40-yard line. My father-in-law arrived at halftime. We took it in from the other 30-yard line. And I can tell you that there is not a bad angle in that entire place. The decision they made to actually, it's almost kind of trippy because half the stadium is actually built what appears to be below ground level. Right. So you walk in and you kind of head down towards your seats. But you know what that means? That means the field is below you. It means you have a great viewing angle for no matter where you are. The concessions and everything, they just brought in some vendors just for a one-off thing. But they all did a great job, including myself. I ate a 2-foot-long hot dog whose bun was a baguette.
What?
they were serving, they called it the lineman. And it was, honest to God, a 2 foot
long. It's called the lineman?
It was called the lineman, so of course I figured
this.
I had to try it, right?
I like this.
You know, we love linemen here on the 2 and Out CFL podcast, so I had to give it a try, and it was actually a 2 foot long hot dog that was using a baguette as a bun. It was quite difficult to put anything in terms of toppings on. I saw other people had cut them in three, but no, Travis Kura. I ate mine by myself into my face hole.
Yes. I wonder if that's a creation from Chris Best. We had him on, friend of the podcast. They used to do the Tour de Fat in Vancouver. You bring that to Regina.
I mean, you know what? I think the Tour de Fat could happen right at the stadium if the 2 foot long hot dog continues. The only thing it was missing was, like, I feel like if you're going to put out a 2 foot long hot dog, you could have covered it in poutine somehow.
If it's 2 feet long, why the heck not?
Exactly. Just make it like just an affront to good nutrition.
Sticking with the Riders, some more changes made this past week. Now, they did extend Brendan Labatt. It remains to be seen if he will be able to play this season, but they have extended him. He's got concussion issues going on right now. They've also released Kendall Lawrence, who, I don't know what happened, man. He was a great player in Edmonton. You have to think that Chris Jones would have known the skill set of him. I find it hard to believe that he just fell off out of nowhere this year.
Well, reading the Monday morning goalie from Rod Peterson this morning kind of opened my eyes to the situation. And it said that he looked lackluster all the way through training camp, through the first few games, and just didn't look like he was really into it this year. And Chris Jones gave him basically every single shot because, you know, Kendall Lawrence is a Chris Jones kind of guy, right? He's a guy he had in Edmonton.
Versatile.
He's a guy, the kind of player he likes. And he brought him over to Saskatchewan, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out at all.
Yeah, and I mean, he was one of the most versatile players in the Canadian Football League. He did it all for Edmonton, and this year it just didn't work at all. Now, a report came out that they're signing Henoch Mwamba, who got cut by Montreal because they didn't want to pay his bonus, and then he ended up in Indianapolis but recently let go. Now he's going to be a Rider. They also sign former Calgary Stampeder receiver Jeff Fuller. He's only 26. He got cut by the Seattle Seahawks. He is a guy, if he can stay healthy, that was kind of his issue in Calgary. He never was really able to stay on the field. Now, there's some speculation that maybe they won't be able to afford Naaman Roosevelt because of this, but I think Roosevelt and Fuller, a 1-2 punch in Saskatchewan would be huge.
Well, I mean, you got to look at some of the contracts that are going to come off the books almost assuredly for the Saskatchewan Roughriders next year. You know, they paid Kendall Lawrence a pile to come over. His contract is now done as of next year. You got to think Shamad Chambers, who is making over $200,000 a year reportedly, his contract is going to be up. It's going to be done. He's going to be released, right? So I don't think they're pricing themselves out of Naaman Roosevelt. I think the Jeff Fuller signing is a smart one. I think if you don't have to rush him into game action this year, obviously he's going to want to play.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more of a next year signing, and we know that. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ways you can structure signing bonuses and deferred salaries and things like that for the guy to make sure that he can fit under your salary cap for next season. I think it's a great signing. He was always great in Calgary, but you're right, battled some injury concerns. But it seems like sometimes when these guys take their NFL tour and they don't actually get on the field for a game, it almost seems to kind of give their body a little bit more of a rest from the clanging and banging going on in a game. It almost seems like they bounce back and they become a bit of a healthier player, if you will. Look at Weston Dressler. Dressler had some injury concerns heading into his Kansas City camp. He came back, and he hasn't missed a whole lot of time, especially with Saskatchewan, a little bit here with Winnipeg this year. But you look at a lot of guys, they seem to take that little bit of time off. It seems to work out for them. And here's hoping it does for Jeff Fuller, because you're right. Like, along with Darian Durant, who I'm sure is going to be re-signed in the coming months here, it's going to create a great aerial attack for Saskatchewan to break in New Mosaic Stadium. And by the way, apparently one of the big recruiting tools for the Riders now, again, going back to Rod Peterson's column at rodpeterson.com, was the fact that they showed Fuller New Mosaic Stadium, and he was just like all of us that showed up there that day. Like, wow, his jaw just dropped, and it's going to be a beautiful place to play football, and it is going to continue to give the Riders an edge when it comes to recruiting free agent talent.
Yeah, and it always seems like NFL guys, when they come back, especially around this time, September, October, they kind of struggle. And the Riders aren't going to be in the playoffs anyway, but if he gets that full training camp next year and he gets used to the CFL game again, then he should be able to pick up right where he left off, because he's a young guy, man. And it's amazing to see Jones still making changes. I've never seen a roster get tweaked this much, of course. A CFL record for how many players have been into actual games this year.
Well, and it's just crazy. It's almost like this entire season has been a training camp to be on the team for New Mosaic, and you're starting to see it come together a little bit, you know, in terms of you're really starting to see it come together in terms of their two-game winning streak, and they've played much better football of late. And I think it's almost, you know, here we are, I was specifically predicting good things for the Riders, but, I mean, the team, and it seems like the whole organization says, okay, this is a rebuild year. Let's be better next season when we're in the new digs, and let's improve from there.
One more note before the expose. The Eskimos made an announcement Wednesday that their final game of the year, November 5th, against the Toronto Argonauts, it's Fan Appreciation Day, but they are buying $100,000 worth of 50-50 tickets. So the pot starting at $50,000, and the first 20,000 fans through the gates are going to get a free 50-50 ticket. Let me tell you, I will be getting there early. I will be getting a ticket. I was at the 50-50 bowl 2 years ago. Stamps, Eskimos, the pot got up to $348,000. And the pot that day started right around $70,000 because it was a carryover of a prize that was unclaimed. This one's starting at $50,000. Of course, it's going to get high again. Hey, I don't know if it's going to get to, you know, the $350,000 range, but it will be getting high. And I'm getting a damn ticket this time. I waited an hour last time. It got shut out. Let's talk about the games from last week.
Time for the Fantasy Expose on the 2&Out podcast.
All right, it started with Friday Night Football, and it seems like every game here on out is a playoff game for the Edmonton Eskimos, but they've really kind of created some distance, and I think they've almost all but guaranteed themselves a playoff spot here. They beat the Bombers 40-26. This sounds crazy, but the Bombers and the Eskimos, along with the Lions, now those three teams, the 1-2 punches they have at running back, are incredible.
Yeah, you know what, though? You could see that the Bombers had clearly lost something when they've gone from Andrew Harris to damn you sexy Flanders. Flanders was okay. He was decent. But I thought to myself that the Bomber offense just looked like it was missing something, and that being Andrew Harris and Darvin Adams. But again, the Bombers proved that unless they're creating turnovers, they're not going to be winning a lot of football games.
Right.
That's not a good way to live. So Edmonton has all of a sudden come on. And it's funny, too. You look at the top four teams in the West Division, they would all be first place in the East right now. That brought up an interesting conversation. My friend Devin with CBC, as long as my friend Peter with CBC, we were talking about this a little bit on Twitter. Do you think it's time to reopen, Travis, the discussion of going back to one division?
No, I'm okay with the way it is right now.
But are you? I mean,
I think with the crossover, how many times has there been a team that deserves to be in the playoffs and doesn't make it?
No, that's fair. I mean, when you look at it that way, I guess you are right. But, you know, you're looking at a situation where Edmonton's going to cross over, have to play on the road, despite having probably the best record in technically the East Division. I'd like to see some tweaking to the crossover rule. I would like to see if that team has a better record.
The Eskimos host that game?
I think they should. I absolutely think they should. I don't think that you should get a tap-in home game, even though your record is going to be worse. And the way the Eskimos have started going with the injuries in Hamilton, it looks like Edmonton could jump ahead of Hamilton's record by the time the season is all done.
Yeah, like, so I guess you're saying if Edmonton technically would finish first or second in the East, that they should even maybe host the East Final, technically?
I think they should. I absolutely think they should. Why should there be any benefit to the Eastern Division teams if you can't have a better record than the fourth best team in the West Division?
I think
they should have the exact same benefits as the top overall seed in the East Division should.
Yeah, and I'd be totally okay with that. Now, here's where I'm interested. Now, if it's an all-West or an all-East Grey Cup, does that lose some of the casual fans? Or, you know, like, would the East be like, I don't care about Edmonton playing Calgary? Or would the West say, I don't really care about Toronto playing Montreal?
Look, Travis, look right now. Look at the way the Grey Cup seats are selling out in the East Division.
Yeah.
You can go online, and I mean, the irony is, I mean, it's hilarious. You and I talked about this on this podcast at the beginning of the season. When you got a phone call from a Toronto Argonauts season ticket rep, who obviously knew he was calling an Alberta number, knew he was calling a guy in Red Deer, and saying, you need to buy your season tickets to make sure you don't miss out on the Grey Cup. And then you tell me today in a text message that they're now calling everybody that went to the 100th Grey Cup and saying, well, hey, maybe you should come check out this Grey Cup. I mean, I wonder who has my old Alberta phone number, because I'm sure they're getting a call because I was at the Grey Cup in 2007. It's, you know what, I don't think the casual fan is there in terms of attending games. So let's go to what's going to look better for the league as a whole. Well-attended games out here in Western Canada, or if you're going to have, like, let's say for argument's sake, Toronto hosts the East Division semifinal against Edmonton. Toronto already can't sell tickets to the Grey Cup game. And suspiciously, if you look at the games at BMO, look for a crowd shot. Look for TSN to cut to a shot of the crowd. They won't do it because the seats are empty. They do the same thing in BC. I'm not saying all of Western Canada is great, but what would the optics look like for the league if you could come out and announce that, okay, look, Edmonton hosted a game this weekend, so did Winnipeg, so did Calgary, and down the road one day, Saskatchewan. This is not me, you know, kneecapping the entire East Division. But you look
Because Hamilton and Ottawa, they're healthy.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
Even Montreal sold out this weekend. I mean,
which is, again, strange, but I'm glad
that,
they did.
Is that because of Chapdelaine? Like, honestly, is that why they sold it out?
I think so. And I think football has been looked at as an Englishman's game in Montreal for a very long time. And you bring in Jacques Chapdelaine, and it maybe appeals to the, obviously, a massive Francophone crowd in Montreal. I like it. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up sticking around as head coach next year. I mean, obviously, he knows a thing or two. You brought it up during Getting Waxed that he ran a great offense until he was forced to work with Tino Cinceri. But I just don't think that a 5-9 or a 6-6 team should be hosting a game against a team that has a superior record. I don't think they should, and I don't think you're going to lose any of the casual fan interest because, I mean, to me, your hardcore fans are going to come no matter what. If Hamilton hosts Edmonton, BC, the Timbuktu Titans, the Hamilton Tiger Cat fans are showing up, just like they are in Ottawa, but your casual fan, they aren't going to care if it's West or East. They're going to come to a football game no matter what, Trav.
Yeah, and here's where I think they dropped the ball on this Grey Cup. I feel like this whole season was supposed to bring the casual fans back to Toronto with the tailgating. With all of that hype, it was supposed to bring them back into the park for Argonaut football. And this Grey Cup was, honestly, I think, supposed to help with that. But how is a casual fan going to pay $600 to sit on the 50 in the lower deck? That is insane to me. Like,
well,
how is a casual fan
going to spend $400 just to get in the damn building?
Exactly. A casual fan, maybe they buy some cheaper season tickets, and then they get the offer of the Grey Cup seats and see the pricing and say, sorry, I'm not going to the Grey Cup.
Well, the other thing, too, is we all said that, okay, if the Argos move to BMO Field, they'll get better scheduling, you know, things will be better. And how many times were you watching a game? They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, the Blue Jays are playing tonight. And, oh, by the way, it's also the Toronto exhibition. I mean, you know, you can make so many excuses for this team, but it's just, you know what? Toronto, I just don't think, is a football market anymore.
There's like 7 million people that live there, man. I mean, and for Vancouver, it's just sad. I mean, there's over 1,000 yards of offense in that Saturday night game, and people don't want to go. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, that could have been your Grey Cup, and I would have been over the moon with how good that game was. And
it was excellent. But I mean, are we starting to see? And I know that David Brayley essentially kept the Lions and the Argos alive.
Yeah.
But are we starting to see what happens when you neglect the franchises that you own and run?
Yeah.
Is that the long term, just dropping the ball and?
Yeah, maybe it is. I mean.
And just letting it market itself. I mean, those are competitive media markets. You got to be doing something, you know, to bring fans to the game. And Toronto and BC haven't been doing that for such a long time that, you know, this isn't surprising that, of course, that nobody's coming to the games. And how long does that take to repair? And how many millions of dollars does that take to repair? Now, I hope whoever is the next owner of the BC Lions, and I hope that Bell or whomever owns the Toronto Argonauts right now, I hope that they're able to rebuild that, because they are both great cities and they are deserving of great football teams. But it's just years of neglect have led to complete fan apathy.
Yeah, I don't know how we got from Timothy Flanders to this, but I mean,
because I made a Grey Cup seats joke.
Like in Toronto, they called my dad. Because he bought tickets for the 100th Grey Cup. I'm sure they called my old cell phone number because I bought tickets for the 100th Grey Cup. They just cost too much money. Don't call me anymore. Drop the prices and I will buy a ticket. That's just too much money for me to spend right now.
Well, are you going?
To the game? I will be going to the game. I know I'm going to the game. When I go to Toronto, I will play the secondary market. And there will be cheap tickets, because you have to assume some scalpers have tickets. They're not going to make any money on it. And if I can't do that, I'll buy a cheap $180 crappy end zone seat and to go to the game.
And then find your way to sneak around to the good seats, because there will be ample ones available. It's just, you know what? The league continues to try. They're trying. I mean, you can't fault them for trying. Everything, when we heard about the BMO Field move, when we heard about the Grey Cup coming there, we all thought it was a great idea.
Yep.
We both did. I mean, there's no arguing that, but it's just, it's almost like, and you see it constantly with the comments and everything out of the league office and everything, it's almost like they don't want to acknowledge that there's a problem. Look at the TV ratings a couple weeks ago for the Toronto Argonauts when they took on the Ottawa Red Blacks. Under 300,000 viewers. Remember a couple years ago, even when we started this podcast, you watched TV ratings for the CFL, and they were smoking the NFL. They weren't even close.
The Argos had great ratings, too.
Exactly. Everybody had good TV ratings. And now all of a sudden you look, and there's more people watching NFL football and the made-up cup of hockey. And you know, at least I get the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, they've been a great story this year, but it's just there's something wrong, and nobody's admitting there's a problem. And how can you fix a problem when you can't admit that there is one?
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. So let's talk about
we'll talk about actual football. Either way, Bombers lose to Edmonton. Mike Riley does Mike Riley things.
Yeah, the Eskies do what we thought they would do. But I think the story of that game is John White, who loses his job. Not to injury, but because of how good Shakir Bell was. He gets 19 carries, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, and 7 catches for 64 yards. Jeremiah Johnson and Anthony Allen, as I was saying, hell of a 1-2 punch at running back, but Shakir Bell and John White, man, those guys can they can play football too.
Well, it seemed to me like every single time that John White touched the ball, you could hear I believe Cuthbert was calling the game. I still was feeling very under the weather, but when I was watching it, but you can tell it was like, and tons of space, and you go, oh, there is a lot of space there for him. So I think Winnipeg keyed in on the pass, and they still couldn't stop the pass because Mike Riley, again, if somebody puts a gun to your head right now, Travis, and says you have to take a current CFL starting quarterback to win you a game, to me it's Mike Riley. He just does unbelievable things every single time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. As for Winnipeg, I have to think that one of the three receivers that got let go in Toronto could end up in Winnipeg.
Well, it sounds like Darvin Adams is close to coming back.
All right, that'll be huge for them.
That would be huge for them, right? And I don't know. I just don't see where Winnipeg, you know, plays another import receiver. Yeah, there was some drops. There was some drop issues for the Bombers in that game, but I just don't see who you're going to cut. Are you going to let Clarence Denmark go, who's been a revelation, who came out of nowhere and kind of saved your season? You know, you're not going to let Weston Dreslin go. He's your best player. There's only six games left. You're kind of living and dying with Ryan Smith. Darvin Adams is coming back here right away. I just don't know if there's room for any one of those guys from Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where I was looking at it is size, and I think Darvin Adams has size too. All three of those receivers have size. Ryan Smith, Weston Dreslin, small guys, and Smith, he's had injury problems this year, and he had the incredible I'm not even looking catch, but
yeah, maybe, I know, the video game glitch catch.
maybe he's someone they don't stick with next year. Just saying.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. It's just to me at this point in your year, though, you'd almost have to let him go to make the roster room for one of those guys.
Yeah,
and I'm not so sure you're going to see that.
Saturday, the Calgary Stampeders win an emotional one in the Donut Box. They beat the Tiger Cats 36-17. It's funny when you look at the Tiger Cats offense. Now, I know the Stampeders have an incredible defense on their own, but the Tiger Cats haven't scored more than 21 points since, what was that, week 12?
Or week
11?
As much as we love playing the Arkell song, the Tie Cats are humming, they're not humming whatsoever. The injury bug has bit that team incredibly hard. Zach Caleros, his question is up in the air with a mild concussion.
Yeah.
It just, they haven't looked like the same Tie Cats team that they have for the past couple of years, and you're right, that offense is not clicking, even though realistically you look on paper, it should be a great offense.
This is another team where I think one of the Toronto receivers could end up. Because if you look at it,
I wouldn't be surprised if two guys ended up on that roster right now.
Yeah, Andy Fantuz has 30 targets in the past 2 weeks. That is insane.
That's unbelievable. And again, Andy Fantuz is having a nice season.
He is.
And he's a guy you and I both like, and we're both high on, and he seems like his time in Saskatchewan is a really universally well-liked guy, so it's good to see him having a resurgent year. But you're right, like with all the injuries piling up, there's room in that roster, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see, like I said, one if not two of those guys end up with Hamilton.
The interesting thing about the Tiger Cats, last year they got away without running the ball, but this year I think that lack of balance might be hurting them. Michael Ford had 3 carries this week. He had 3 carries last week. Marshall Ferguson actually wrote a piece saying, is the running game dying in the Canadian Football League? And Hamilton's trying to live without it, but it just isn't working. As for Calgary, Davaris Daniels, Kamar Jordan, Jerome Messam, those guys, well, Messam does Messam things, but Jordan and Daniels, they can still be had for relatively reasonable prices on DraftKings. So those may be some directions you want to go in. It seems like McDaniel is starting to become the old reliable receiver behind those two young studs.
Yeah, and again, look at Calgary, just finding guys you've never heard of, and now all of a sudden they're relevant in both the football field and your DraftKings lineup. Absolutely. If you have a question mark, if you're looking between two guys right now at your DraftKings lineup and one of them's a Calgary Stampeder, take the guy who's a Stampeder. They're probably going to be really, really good and do some things for you.
Yeah, absolutely. The game of the week, Saturday night, the BC Lions get by the Red Blacks 40-33. Trevor Harris throws for 485 yards.
Wow.
485 yards, and they lose the game.
I know. When if you just gave me that number and asked and told me to figure out who won that game, I don't know. I never would have thought that you'd throw for 485 and lose, but that's what they do, and you're right. Like, that was an absolute classic of a football game.
Jonathan Jennings getting it done. He goes 20 for 25, 348 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I like how Terrell Sinkfield is looking. It's only his second game back. He had 4 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown. He also had 2 carries for 10 yards. He was under 4,000 last week on DraftKings. You have to think that's going to start to go up. BC, all of a sudden, Manny Arsenault, Terrell Sinkfield, Brian Burnham, they put Rainey on offense. They're a very dangerous team when they are clicking. You have to think the Tiger Cats are really missing Mr. Sinkfield right now.
Oh, yeah, and you have to too. You have to look at BC, and they're going to go, much like we said, they're going to go about as far as Jonathan Jennings will carry them. I mean, he's still a young guy. He's still going to have some inconsistent performances, but it seems like as the year has gone on, good Jennings has been here more than bad Jennings. Full disclosure, though, Trav, I missed this one on Saturday night. Because I was calling to me what might be the game of the year I was personally involved with on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that very soon. On the Ottawa side, this week, I actually really like if Darian Durant will be playing for the Riders. I haven't heard an update there yet.
It sounds like he was on his own website. He said he's going to play. If Durant says he's going to play, the Riders still have such a faint hope at the playoffs. You pretty well got to play him by this point. My gut tells me he's going to go.
I like the matchup there. The Red Blacks defense, while they can make plays, I really like the Ryder matchup there. And Durant hasn't been priced up there with the top quarterbacks. And he looked awesome. And he's playing for a couple extra bucks on that contract. So
Exactly. He was without a deal this offseason. I think I love the matchup of Darian Durant and Naaman Roosevelt, both of them going up against the terrible Red Black secondary.
Will Roosevelt be back this year?
Ooh, I don't know that. See, that's the one that's a question mark, right? It's also strange that you could be in a spot where just watch the practice. I think you're going to have to watch the practices this week.
Yeah.
I think as long as the Riders have a faint hope of the playoffs, if Roosevelt is in any kind of condition to play, I think he needs to play.
Yeah, and as for Ottawa, Ernest Jackson's got to be one of the steadiest receivers in the league this year. And for Ottawa, it was like pick your poison, whether it's Williams, Jackson, Sinopoli, or Ellingson. And Jackson seems to be the most consistent out of the four right now. And Ellingson is super quiet lately. But you never know. One of those guys can break out for 180 yards. It just happens that way. Now, you missed this game because of football day in Saskatchewan. This one was at Old Mosaic.
Holy cheese. I can tell you the second half of the football day in Saskatchewan doubleheader might have been one of the wildest games I will ever be a part of in my entire career, my entire life. I'm going to set the scene for you here. The Regina Thunder score to go up 10 points on the Saskatoon Hilltops with about 2:30 left in the football game. So Regina kicks off to Saskatoon, right? Saskatoon takes the ball. The offense has not looked great the entire night. Jared Anderchuk, the quarterback, leads his team all the way down to an 18-yard touchdown strike to Sam Mike. Now, Anderchuk, during that drive, he had one play that reminded me of so much of Darian Durant. He ran out of the pocket, scrambled for a first down where his team needed it, and took him on the shoulder. So the Hilltops then, okay, so now the lead is 3. There's still about 90 seconds left here. So the Hilltops kick off to the Thunder. Defense gets their first 2-and-out of the fourth quarter. And the Hilltops get the ball back. So the Hilltops managed to drive it up to about the Regina 31-yard line. They got a first down there until Regina completely loses their composure. The Thunder take 2 unnecessary roughness penalties on the same play, moving the ball to the 1-yard line. Hilltops punch it in. Either way, there's still 30 seconds left. Regina is one of the best passing games in the entire nation. And then all of a sudden, an interception in the dying seconds. Hilltops win 30-26, coming back from 10 points down with 2:31 remaining. It was insanity. I lost my voice. As you can hear, I'm a little calmer than I usually am. That's in big part because my voice still hasn't, between the cold and that game, my voice still hasn't quite bounced back yet.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Awesome. You know, you think you're up 10 with 2:30 left. What do you think is going to happen? You probably think you're going to come away with a victory, but not the case. The Hilltops improved to 6-1.
Now, before we get to the picks, I guess we quickly talk about the Argos and the Alouettes. The Owls, wow.
If you played Rakeem Cato this week at DraftKings, you're feeling real good.
Props to you.
4 touchdown passes?
Yeah, he only had 210 yards.
But still, 4 touchdown passes is some massive points. It looks like Jacques Chapdelaine, now that he's calling the offensive plays, again, Brazilian tie's not high on him, but I think him as a coach, he's a good coach. He knows how to run an offense, and he knows how to work with what's been given to him. Am I calling for a massive Montreal resurgence? No. Do I think they're going to be better than when they had Jim Popp? Absolutely.
Well, that first drive was like two plays for 80-some yards.
Yeah, and, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, they looked like a completely different team. But when you really look at it, Cato was sacked 6 times. They didn't have all that many yards. Maybe it was more a product of a bad Argos team who turned the ball over and... it was a weird game. It was funny because the Owls had 2 touchdowns in the first half, and everyone was acting like, oh, this is Ben Cahoon and Jamel Richardson and Anthony Calvillo. Is that how bad the Owls have been?
Well, the Alouettes haven't had, much like the Riders, they haven't exactly had a lot to cheer for the past couple of years. I mean, it's been really bad, highlighted by some really bad quarterback play and some strange coaching decisions. It's just nice to, you know what, Montreal sells it out, sell out the building.
Yeah.
It's just nice to see them get a win in front of a loud crowd for once.
For sure. As for the Argos, you might be able to find some deals with them moving forward on DraftKings if you really want to. Spencer, he's reliable. Kenny Shaw is going to get more targets now. He's their he was their best receiver up until now, and with Elliott and Gurley and those guys gone, he's going to see more balls go his way. Even a guy like Levi Noel, I'm sure he's going to cost you $20 on DraftKings, and he might get something done for you. Now, the CFL Podcast Family Fantasy League, we're coming up on the playoffs here. Now, I think we're going to undergo the dreaded Fantasy Recount. As of right now, I'm looking at the score, and it says the Rouge Radio Boys beat us 192 to 191.
Well, hey, the Rouge guys did at one point, and I believe they might still be the official podcast of Fantasy Football.
I feel like we're up against Vince McMahon and the corporation here, man.
I was going to say Roger Goodell, but, you know, we'll go with Vince McMahon and the corporation. So which one of us is Triple H then?
Well...
Neither of us?
Yeah, we're probably like D'Lo Brown and like, who's another crappy wrestler, that Goldust or something.
I'm not wearing the spandex or the makeup, so that makes you Goldust. I can't wait till some rando on Twitter shreds us for making wrestling references during the podcast.
That guy is the best. I'm not going to mention him. He is the best Twitter account. Nothing positive comes from it. I visit it once in a while just for a laugh. But let's get to the picks.
It's everyone's favorite game show. Are you smarter than 2 overweight Canadian podcasters? Pick the weekly winners in the CFL on Facebook or Twitter at 2andOutCFL.
Of course, 3 games this Thanksgiving long weekend are getting the CFL wired treatment. Hamilton and Calgary did it earlier this year. This weekend, the Riders and the Red Blacks, Friday Night Football, the Lions and the Bombers on Saturday. That should be awesome. And the Eskies and the Owls will be doing it on Thanksgiving Monday. So that's the only team that hasn't participated this year would be the Toronto Argonauts. Now, I can't believe it. We're getting right down to the nitty-gritty, John. I can't believe it. This is crazy. There are only 4 games left, man.
I know. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's all flown by so quickly.
It does, man. Friday Night Football.
But if nobody watches, does a football game still happen?
I'm going to say no.
Well, then maybe the Argos can redeem themselves this season.
Watch them beat Calgary on Monday.
Oh, no, that won't happen.
Friday Night Football, the Red Blacks hosting the Riders. Who are you going with?
You know what? I really think that after watching a little bit of Ottawa last weekend and seeing that the way that their pass defense hasn't done a whole hell of a lot, I am, believe it or not, going to pick the Riders to win a third game in a row for the first time since, well, a very long time.
This one is so interesting, but let's play the sheepdogs. Can you really win when you must pick and choose? Who do you beat all? the Sheepdogs. Now, I had a tough time picking this game. The Rider defense has really come into their own. They were able to limit. Limit is such a strong word for Darius Bowman. It's like if you hold him under 200 yards, you're doing okay.
You've limited him. Yeah, exactly.
But there's more options in Ottawa. I have to go with the home team here. What it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be quite all right. Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is flicking a cigarette. All right, Saturday.
Add the Bleed Red Blacks folks from their podcast to the people that probably hate me now because I just picked against them.
Everyone hates you, John. Who are we kidding?
I was going to say, I haven't really yelled today. Maybe Sick John is turning over a new leaf. Yeah. Sure, I've thrown shade at the CFL and Jeffrey Orridge like four times, but hey, no, I'm you know what? I'm just not yelling.
Are we witnessing a brand new John Fraser?
No. I just put it this way.
There's the promo.
It's just really, really good that my voice didn't work last week, or there would have been a new level of yelling over the whole lack of a suspension for slapping a ref.
I'm kind of sad that. I'm kind of sad.
We would have worn out the angry elk button. Just let's put it this way. The fact that you can walk up and deliberately physically slap an official's hand and not get suspended is the biggest joke that I have ever seen in professional sports. Whoever made that decision needs to pull their head straight out of their ass and think of the message that they're not only sending to their own officials, basically saying, whatever, guys, whatever, these guys can hit you. No, they won't get any real discipline. We're not actually going to suspend them. We're going to fine them a little bit. You know, fine them $10,000 out of their $500,000 a year contract. So it's a drop in the bucket. Team's going to pay for half of it. And then you can go ahead and just tee off on refs. The fact that, and then, so now you're teaching, you're showing your refs that you won't support them in a meaningful way at that level. Now, what are some of these idiot coaches at the levels below your game see that? Well, Ken Austin does it. What's keeping me from flipping out on this ref? We have a reffing crisis, and everybody's going to sit here and blame the refs. I can tell you as an ex-ref that put up with a lot of that actually got me out of the game. When I got a helmet stuffed into my chest after a hockey game, that was it for me. That was it. I was done. I was a pretty promising ref, if I do say so myself. And I was done. And you're letting these guys get away with it and let them coach the game from some part of a booth? Like, come on. Like, whoever made that decision, and then to blame it on the fact that, well, there's no real precedent. There's no real precedent, so we don't know really how to suspend this guy. Okay. So this week, player goes out, slaps a guy in the helmet, what are you going to do? Player goes out and contacts a ref, what are you going to do? Guess what? Now the players' union can say, whoa. He might have deliberately made contact with that official. But Ken Austin didn't get suspended. Why should my client? And then we have a 6-week appeal process because that's how it works. The fact is that you can't take the rules in the rule book that say guys ejected and suspended for a player and apply them to a coach in the exact same situation. Seems pretty logical to me.
I regret asking if we've discovered a new John Fraser.
I didn't yell once.
You actually didn't swear in that little soliloquy either.
No, I think I did like twice. You should probably listen back and bust out the angry elk.
Okay, Saturday it is the Bombers and the Lions. This is an interesting game. Who are you going with?
You know what? I have no reason to pick it other than my big 2-foot hot dog, long stuffed gut full of poutine. It's just, I feel like Winnipeg is going to make. I feel like Jackson's going to make some mistakes under center. Jennings is going to make some mistakes under center because that Winnipeg defense is so good at ball hawking and turning momentum around. I do think the Bombers are going to pull. I think overall it's going to be a split of this home and home, but I think the Bombers are going to strike first. I'm going to go with Winnipeg here.
Baby, cool your jets is what I say. It never had to end this way. Killing the vibe when you up and quit. I'm glad you're gone, but you will be missed. Yeah, I want to breathe. And I'm on my knees, because I need some breathing room.
Jet Set Satellite, a damn good band from Winnipeg. Now, I'm going Lions here. I feel like the Bombers, that seven-game winning streak was just not luck, but maybe not as good as they are. And maybe an Andrew Harris returning will give them a little bit of a boost here, but I think BC is just coming into their own, and I think they win this one. I love how that has become the staple of the BC Lions.
And see, you know what? How can I be mad after hearing Soul Decision?
Can you imagine Solomon Elamimi and an Adam Big Hill Team 100 working out to that song?
I actually probably could. And maybe notice the BC Lions have played pretty well since we've anointed them with Soul Decision as their song on the podcast.
They have, actually. They
so
have.
You know what? I almost wonder if they haven't heard it.
Thanksgiving Monday. I love the Thanksgiving Day classic. So many memories of suffering turkey hangovers and just watching some Canadian football. It starts with Montreal and Edmonton. Where are you going here?
Only because I want to play a second straight boy band. And only because our Je ne pas Jacques t-shirts didn't exactly sell, and we now have a basement bedroom full of them.
We have 600 Je m'appelle Jacques t-shirts that nobody bought.
But I'm going to say I believe in Le Jacques. Let's go with the Montreal Alouettes, and you better play the request I sent you.
All right, we're going with Sky. This one's called Love Song.
She decides that the dogs love side.
Hey, that song was number one in Canada like 18 years ago.
It was, and they had the other one, Some Kind of Wonderful, also a great jam. It's funny, though, because, you know, Sky has the line in there, the flies make me wonder why. I also wonder why there was flies in my poutine this week.
So disappointing.
You want to piss me off? Put a fly in my poutine.
You want to piss anyone off?
Put a fly in their poutine. Thanks, Wendy's.
I'm going Eskies here.
Well, his mind's a little tired, but his back is plenty strong. Got his green kings and filthy frozen coveralls on. And he's drilling by the inch, and he's hauling on the winch. Taking fuel from the tanks on a short chain trip. You better hire him on. He's the roughest neck around. He got the power in his hands to pull the dragons from the ground.
Okay, Edmonton doesn't have as much talent as the other cities, so I had to go with Cor Blund.
Hey, you know what? Neither of us are country music guys, despite the fact that I work at a country music station. I do think if you're going to go with that, go with Cor Blund and the Hurtin' Albertans. Always a good pick. Back to the fly for a minute. That fly that died in my Wendy's poutine, I think, might have gone out exactly how I want to go out. Well, but the fly literally died in a bath of cheese curds and gravy.
That's exactly what I'm doing on Saturday. I'm filling a bathtub with gravy and
and cheese curds.
And bathing in it, and I'm going to Snapchat it to you.
That's disgusting.
Look me in the eyes, John. Look me in the eyes.
Oh, no. Let's just get to the last game so we can stop thinking of you naked in a bathtub swimming in gravy.
Okay. Friend of the show, Oz Davis. He's a writer for thegruelingtruth.net. I write for there, too. I submit my DraftKings picks there every week. I don't know how I'm still getting published, but last week I was in the money. I was in the money in my two entries, so I did okay. But Oz had a request.
What's that?
But we can't play it because the rules are we can only play it if we're going to pick that team. But he wanted to hear Martha and the Muffins, who are from Toronto. But I can't pick the Argos over the Stampeders.
No, no, no. You know what? Martha and the Muffins might have to wait until next year. The Stamps are going to win. I don't even have to give reasons why. They're just going to win. Look at the records.
Just watch Drew Willey throw for 485 yards.
I would do the next podcast bathing in gravy if that was the case.
Okay, it's a deal. Broke out of money. That is Stairwell from Calgary, a really kick-ass rock band. Sorry, I can't play Martha and the Muffins today.
No, not today, as we used to say.
All right, John Fraser, are you planning on having a voice next week?
Maybe if I'm here.
Oh, you might not be here?
It's my off week. I come here once every 2 weeks now.
Oh, my God.
Can you just accept some more resumes?
We need to make a new intro.
I'll be here. Poking fun at myself. You sounded genuinely concerned that I was taking another bye week.
I was. Do me a favor and eat as much turkey as you can this week, okay?
You know what? I am going to stuff myself so full of turkey I might not be able to record on Wednesday.
That is a valid reason in my book, man. Hey, we could make some turkey poutines if we have leftovers.
You know what? We actually did that last year. It was amazing.
No way.
Yeah, no, actually, Lacey and I did that. It was fantastic.
That might be
Costco gravy, some cheese curds, and then turkey.
That might be the official food of the Tune Out podcast this October.
You know what? I think we should make that.
Until pumpkin pie hits the shelves a little later on.
Hey, you know what pairs really well with pumpkin pie?
What?
Whipped cream and rum.
Rum?
Rum. Have a nice little rum, a glass of rum with your pumpkin pie. There is no better pairing of dessert and alcohol.
Thanksgiving tips from the Two and Out podcast.
Make sure you smother your turkey in gravy and drink rum and pumpkin pie, because it'll get you nice and zesty.
We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving long weekend.
If I feel like it, I guess.
Enjoy the football. Submit your resumes at 2andOutCFL on Twitter. Like on Facebook. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. We'll talk to you next week.